saving money on exterior wall lights. Now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Not only that, Ben, but I brought with me today a corny joke.
Did you really?
Are you ready?
Yeah, well,
it's
on me.
So bad.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Why did the hamburger go to the gym?
Okay, let's see here. He had beef. He had... I don't know why.
To get better buns.
Oh!
Yeah!
Man!
It's so bad.
Tis the goal, though.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I'm actually, I personally am taking a hiatus from gym life at the moment.
Yeah, I've noticed because we were going to the same gym and now you're not going. So it's mostly just me there in the morning now.
I know. It's been like a big change up for me. I feel like it's been one of these like massive, I feel like it's been like weighing on me this whole year. Like I started this year and I think I knew I wanted to do something different. And I like trained for the marathon and that was like, especially as the training runs got longer and longer, it was like going on like the 14 mile run on the weekend. It was like, this is all the exercise I needed for this week. Like, you know, it's just like, I feel like I don't have as much in the tank, but I was still going and doing like the other workouts in the meantime. And I was like, I feel like this is all just starting to like catch up with me.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't take a pause while marathon training. And then in the post marathon life, I think I was like still in such a recovery mode that I was like, I think I need to pull back from this.
Right.
I think I am doing too many things and I'm not recovering at the end of each day. So,
right.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm finding myself, it's a really strange place to be in. I feel like exercise has been such an,
You're not one to take to not be exercising usually.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Do you feel like more energized, less energized?
Do
you feel like you're gaining weight or?
No, I am actually, I had just purchased one of those, it's a Fitbit scale.
Okay.
And so it's kind of neat because like you can go through and like log a bunch of different data, or Fitbit logs a bunch of data for you. And I have gone through before, like when I was doing the 75 hard challenge last year, which is like 75 days, you know, like where you have to work out twice a day. One of the workouts has to be outside, no alcohol. You have to stick to a diet, read 10 pages of like nonfiction each day. And then I think the other one is like take a progress photo, which was the one that it was never important to me to like maintain anyway. So I was sort of like a little bit more loosey goosey on that one. Any which way though, one of the things that I was attempting to do was actually like bulk during that period of time. So my goal was to like consume like a lot more protein and then see if I couldn't like go through and track. So anyway, Fitbit has the ability to manually go through, weigh yourself on like a standard scale, and then just like enter in the thing on your own. And here just a few weeks ago, I had bought one and put it right next to my bed. And so like when I wake up in the morning, like the first thing I do is open the Fitbit app, I stand on top of the scale, it like logs my weight. And it's like, it's very interesting just to see like what's been happening. And somehow, and this is probably going to just make everybody angry, but I have actually gone backwards. I have like lost, I think I'm losing like muscle mass is what's happening.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm actually like losing a little bit right now. I also think that because I'm not exercising, I'm like less hungry overall. So I'm also maybe even just like eating less as well. So anyway, so that's been the thing. I've got my Fitbit scale, got it plugged in and started tracking. And I think I've lost like 2 pounds in the past like 2 weeks or something. So that's been kind of like odd and strange and weird, but, it also could be due to stress.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
What are you stressing out about, Ben?
Goodness gracious. Okay. So I got to tell you, it is Friday as we're recording this because I will be out of office next Monday.
So it is one full week before the episode will come out.
One full week. Yes, indeed. And this has been what has felt like the longest week of my life.
The longest week
of my life.
Because you're anticipating something?
Because I'm anticipating something. I have the tattoo appointment.
What?
I do. Nobody really knows about it.
That's good. Like, no one really does. You've been like very, very quiet about it sure.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. I'm acting surprised, but I did know about it.
Jay did know about it. He has been in the loop on this. However, yeah. So I think several months ago I had talked about how I had found a tattoo artist that I really, 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 really liked. And I thought that they were located in New York City. And I was sort of like, okay, that's no big deal. Like I could see a world where I travel to New York City for this. Like,
yeah, you know, people travel to get tattoos.
Yeah, of course.
People travel to get haircuts, man.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and it's a big deal. It's a permanent change. It's, you know, it's like, this is, and it's especially for me who I've always had this like really like big, like kind of bizarre maybe situation where like I've always really wanted to do this, but have had like no idea what I wanted it to look like, or
right.
even like where it would be, or like a concept or a style or a theme or a meaning or any of these things. So anyway, I had found the artist and I was like, man, I've looked at all of his stuff and it's all really cool. Like I like all of what I've seen. It's
right.
Like, that is like not common for me. Cause like, tattoos can take such a variety of different, you know, like perspectives and stuff. And so I was like, man, this is wild. So, okay, found the person. So like, I actually like sent the inquiry email and it was like this thing where they wrote back, you know, a couple days later and they were like, well, actually we were only in New York City for like a short time. Otherwise we're located in Budapest and, you know, they were like, so if you ever make your way out to Hungary, like, you know, be sure to let us know.
We can drop us a line. Yeah.
See if we can't set up an appointment then if he's got availability, which is also like not super common. I think he's like a fairly in demand artist, which has been one of these things. It's also kind of like, you know, a bit of a challenge as well. I think they followed up the email with like, alternatively, if you're going to be in Bali, you know, in the month of June, he's going to be in Bali for a month doing some work.
If you find yourself over there.
Yeah. I mean, in case you're passing through connecting flight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's basically like the Charlotte airport of that side of the globe.
Mm-hmm.
That reference probably makes sense to just such a small handful of people. But I feel like every connecting flight that we ever have out of Roanoke is always through Charlotte.
It's almost always through Charlotte, sometimes through Atlanta. But yeah, we spend a lot of time in the Charlotte airport.
We do indeed. Yeah. Anyway, so long story long, I finally got another email and it turned out that he was in fact coming back to New York City for like a brief trip mm-hmm. at the end of July. And so they sent me the thing and all of a sudden it was sort of like, you know, I get the email and I woke up one morning like early and I'm like staring at it and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like,
yeah,
this is the like you, this is the moment in my mind. It
to
was
me,
sort of like,
it feels right. Because like it was almost like the universe like forcing your hand a little bit.
It very much felt
because
like
there
that.
Was a point I think where you were even like trying to justify like going to Budapest to do the tattoo, and it was like I could see you like psyching yourself up for it for like weeks and like trying to manage like, is that worth it? Should I do this? Is that crazy? And it was like, it was quite a mountain to try and like psych yourself over. And I think at the end there was just like, it's, you know what? Budapest is like pretty far. But it was also like, it was this like then obstacle. It was like, okay, then it was like this weird situation. You're like, I know exactly what I want and who I want to do it, if not for this one barrier. So it was like, you were allowed to put up this sort of like wall where like maybe the reason you weren't taking action on it.
Right.
But then it turned out that it was coming to New York and it was like, now the wall's not there. So do you still want to walk across the bridge? Cause you said you did. And it was like, it really felt like a, like the universe putting you in like a, all right, do or die, man. Like, you know, crap or get off the pot, right? Like,
oh,
let's
I know.
Move.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it felt like. And it was like, I feel like I have talked about this. I feel like I have like worn out my friends and family, like with this particular like notion and conversation and impulse and drive and everything. And it's like, we can't keep talking about it if you're not going to do it, you
right.
know? And it was, and I think that was sort of like the big thing too. So it was like, oh my gosh, okay. The bar just went from like a 10 to like a 6, you know, it's like, it's not like I'm driving across town and can just like walk into a studio and like know somebody who is from my area. It's like, I still have to go to another place. I have to fly there. I have to get lodging. I have to do all of these other bits.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, like, you know, the whole process of like, even like securing your position requires like, you know, like a wire transfer deposit because it is like an international exchange,
oh,
at
man,
least in terms
yeah.
of like, so it's like, you know, throughout the whole process, like it was sort of like the major hurdle got dropped And then there have been like these like smaller hurdles along the way that have that I've had to like continuously like sort of like hop over on my journey towards being able to like make it a reality. Not the least of which is even the fact that like Alice is also not able to go on this trip. And so I feel like I even remember on an episode of The Pop at one point in time discussing how like I am not the type of person who wants to travel somewhere alone.
I know you're like having, it almost feels like a religious experience. Like you're like off on a solo pilgrimage or something.
That is exactly how it has felt to
like,
me.
Not and only that, there's like a certain amount of, it feels like faith you're just putting out there as well, because like, as far as I know, at least what you've told me is that to this point, you still don't know what you want it to look like.
That is exactly correct. Right, yeah. And this is like one of those things where it's like sometimes, you know, like when you're like, if you're expecting or something, you know, you might not want to do like a, like find out the gender or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, this is not like me keeping like my cards close to the chest. This is not me, or like a name. This is another one. Like if you like tell people your like names for a potential child, there's always inviting feedback. Somebody always knows somebody by that name who like wronged them in grade school.
You can't name them that because I had a bad experience. And it's like, well, too bad.
It's like, yeah, but this name has a deep meaning to me for like a lot of different reasons. And so I'm not doing that is the point, is that it's like, I part of the other thing about working with this, the way that this whole thing works, the whole thing is a giant unknown to me. So I am traveling by myself, you know, to another city to stay by myself, to go and do something for the very first time that is a permanent change to my human. And I am interacting with somebody who is coming, like who doesn't even speak English as their their first language. So, you know, so there's like other things that are involved with that. And so it's kind of like one of these things where it's like, I have so much faith in like the work that this person has done,
right?
Like what else I have seen in their repertoire. The process supposedly is that you get there and you have like a big long consultation where you and him like work together and like kind of like navigate the design. Like, do we do this? Like you can make like real time changes to the artwork and everything. And then finally, like you get in the chair and it happens. And
yeah. So I'm so curious how that's going to go. Cause like at least you can, you know, take some solace in the fact that of his entire portfolio, you like all of it. So there's almost no matter what, whatever he comes up with is hopefully something you're going to like, because all prior work has been appreciated. It is that should point to, I will like the one for me.
Yes.
But, there's also like, you know, but the fact is you can like to look at something and then that doesn't necessarily mean you want it on your body,
on your person for the rest of forever.
So there's that. Yeah. I'm just like anticipating him like having like some sort of like mood board or something. And just sort of like, oh, tell me about this. It's like, okay. Yeah. Right. All right. Yeah. Tell me about this. Yeah. Cool. And then he just like sketches something and turns it around and you're like, that's basically me.
Yes, exactly. Like, yeah. Exactly. And I think that this is part of the, like, almost like what is giving me, cause you're right. I mean, it's like, you know, faith, I think for me is knowing, which I think is
not faith. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like this is probably something that has largely been absent from my life for my entire life, is like, I don't have a lot of faith that anything will happen other than simply like the things that I know, the things that I can like, I can draw from like the existing information in the world. And so you're right. Like, I think pilgrimage is completely and utterly the right word for me, because I think the whole thing, the whole process, like everything about it is just a huge leap. Like,
yeah.
I've even told Alice, I was like, technically there is still a scenario where this is like a deep, 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 multi-layered scam, which I don't think it is. I'm not expecting that. I feel like there's more than enough things to suggest that it isn't. But it is also like, I'm traveling alone to a different city to go and do a thing that I've never done before. And I'm definitely, I'm super, super scared, but also excited. And it has basically been consuming all of my thoughts.
I bet.
For the past, like, you know, 2 months, as I've sort of been barreling towards this. So anyway.
So do you have a body location you are intending?
So the current expected body location is my left inner forearm.
Yeah, that is exactly the spot I've always thought I would get a tattoo.
Yes. Yeah. So the kind of interesting thing about, I guess pieces of this tattoo, I guess, is, and I can't even say that this is something that I was specifically looking for. It just happens to be what I found, is that he is, I guess, particularly skilled with single needle designs.
Okay.
So I guess typically, like, if you're getting a tattoo, there are more than one needles. Again, this is like, this speaks to the level of experience that I have or didn't have.
Right.
Supposedly that provides like a very clean line that typically doesn't like deviate much, or a, like, it ages really well as time goes on. And then your inner forearm is also like another piece of your body that, like, even regardless of age, or exposure to weather, or gaining, losing weight, anything like that. Like, it's not a piece of your skin that does a whole lot of fluctuation, and therefore it is also like a good spot, I think, in terms of tattoo placement, because it doesn't, it's less likely for something to happen to it that would cause the design to change drastically.
Right. Okay.
You know, if that makes sense.
Is there a chance, is there a chance you get up there and based on what it is, you change the position on your body?
There is a chance that would happen. Yeah. And that is like one of those things where it's also like, I keep trying to imagine, like, you know, because right now I feel like a lot of like our headshots or whatever, my arms are crossed. And so, like, as it stands right now, if it goes where I expect it to go, you wouldn't actually see it if my arms were crossed.
Sure.
And so I feel like that's like a piece of like the, like you could almost not even know that it's there.
Right.
But like, there's a part of me that wants you to know it's there. So the other thought was like the outer forearm.
Right. You could go like, yeah, like outer forearm then, or like upper outer, like bicep area, left arm, something there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So I would say that all of those things would be potentially in play, but probably somewhere on an arm.
There you go.
I think I feel pretty confident about that.
So, okay. So I'm just trying, I'm trying to gauge how much, like, what the faith level is here. Suppose you get up there and you have this whole conversation with him and he's like, this has never happened before. No one's ever come up to me and said, I don't know at all what I want.
Right.
Per se.
Yeah.
He's like, but I have an idea. But as part of the experience and the ritual and the story you've given me, how do you feel about, like,
blindly doing,
like,
it,
like putting up a curtain and then me just revealing it after it's on you?
Oh,
you know, or like, I have an idea, I think you're really gonna love it, I would like to do it like on your back, and I would like to show you after it's done or something, you know. Or like how far are you willing to go in that direction?
I think given who he is and given the caliber of work that he provides, at least that near as I can tell, I think that if, because I have sent him some of the designs that he's done that I particularly liked, like the ones that, like, that led me to him in the first place.
Okay.
And so he would know at the very least that, like, these three different designs that I have sent are the three that, like, that in some way, shape, or form stand out to me. I would say all three of those are very different from one another. And so it would be very interesting if he was sort of like, okay, based on everything you've told me, based on what you showed me, like, I have an idea. I think what's best for you is to not know.
Right.
Like, I think that there's a chance that I could be on board with that.
Okay. You know? Like, and you're just sitting there behind a curtain with your arm on the other side.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, by the end of it, it's just sort of like, boom, here it is.
There you go.
Because, like, that's even, like, a piece of, like, what I said in, like, my original email to him is, like, I feel like there's a, and I think I've even said this on the pop before, but it's like, I think there's something inside of me that I want to say. And I think that maybe a part of what I will ultimately discover through this journey, or what I'm curious to see if I will, because this entire experience for me is entirely and is unique in every way.
Yeah.
It goes against the way that I approach just about every aspect of my life, mm-hmm. and the way in which I make decisions.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it may end up being the case that the design may not speak this unspoken thing, the process, the action of going and doing this whole journey is me learning this unspoken thing.
Right.
It's like this like discovery of sort of like something maybe that I am capable of that I didn't know that I was capable of, or maybe like a fresh perspective on how I go about like approaching, you know, the world around me or something like that. I really don't know, but I'm like extremely excited, extremely nervous. But I feel like it's like, I like wake up every day. The number of times that I've like looked at this arm over the past month is too many to count.
Right.
You know, it's just like, I can't imagine it. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't have anything. It's like when we're doing a Jay versus Ben and the question pops up and the answer flits out of my brain. I'm just like I can't even make up an answer right now.
Right.
You know, it's like I've gotten there. It's just open air dead space. It's going to be a very, very, by the time you're hearing this, I think that probably one of the more extraordinary life-changing moments of my life will happen.
I know. Yeah. This is so, I like we're recording it literally the day before you leave.
Yes.
To go do it. Yeah. That's pretty fun. It's also just like, even if you weren't going to get a tattoo on this trip, I think I'd almost be equally interested just that you were going on a solo trip to New York City for the weekend with like no other intent.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's like, yeah, like what will happen on this journey?
Like if you were just talking, if this was reversed, you're just like, yeah, what are you doing this week? I'm like, I'm just going to like NYC. Like, oh, like you and Beth, like, nah, just me. Like what for? Yeah,
it's like I just
want to be there, man. I just want to take it in.
Seems like the place to be.
You know, I'll have fun. I'll find something to do. I don't know. You know.
Yes.
Stuff's happening.
I know. Well, and that is honestly like a piece too. It's like what if I like were to discover, because there are like certain like life ambitions that I feel like I've had that for some reason felt like there's no way for me to even begin to approach that. You know, like I don't even know like where I would start.
Yeah.
You know, or even like certain things that I've really wanted to do, but it's like if I can't get anybody to go with me, then I mark it as like, well, you know what? And it's not worth doing. If nobody else wants to go with me, then it must not be a good idea. And it's like, maybe this will be like the discovery. It's like, there are lots of things you want to do. It's like, you can go.
You can
like,
go.
You know, it's like there is no rule book saying you can't. There's just these like, it's like this like established, like, because like in my head, it's even like the thought for like a very, very, very long time. Even the thought of like taking a plane ride to go on a vacation was like something that like I had personally never set up on my own.
Right.
And so it was like, I don't do plane ride vacations, not because I don't like flying, not because I'm opposed to flying, just because like it's like that immediately felt like it adds a layer of like
complexity.
Yeah. That my brain like wasn't prepared to handle it. Didn't know how it would handle it.
Right.
Or how all those variables would ultimately play out. Like even just going through the process so many times and like knowing ultimately how to get to the airport, how and what going through security is like, how landing and being able to like call transportation from the airport goes, checking into hotels. Like these are things when you're like when you're 22, 23 years old, like you probably just don't have that much personal experience.
Right. Like whenever you arrived at the hotel, just like, you know, your mom or dad went up to the desk and did all the things and came back and they had the key cards and they told you where to go. And
exactly. Yeah. And you were like, can we go to the pool?
Right. Basically. So it's all just, but now no problem.
But now it's less of a problem. Yeah. So it makes things seem like a lot more approachable. So this is like this is that though. This is like the can I do something I think I can't do, and will there be like an outcome?
Right. Yeah. I think this is not at all the same thing, but I feel like it falls into the same category of like, what do you do on your own or sort of things, or like, are you putting up barriers like that are not real in your way? But like, back in the days of Pokemon Go, which I say in the days of, it's still a very popular game.
Sure. Yeah.
But I was into it. I felt like there was like the, when the game came out, there was like a 1 month period where like the whole world was doing nothing but playing Pokemon Go.
Yes.
After which there was a pretty severe drop off in terms of like all the casual people are gone now.
Right.
And now there's just the people who are like still interested. And so that was me for like 5 years, you know.
Yes. Like, yeah.
I would open it every day. I would, you know, catch the Pokemon and stuff. And eventually they started doing these like events or whatever. So like, oh, you want to catch, you know, a legendary Pokemon? Great news. Between these 3 hours on this one Saturday, that Pokemon will be everywhere and you can go catch it as long. But in order to do that, you have to do raids, and certainly you can't do them by yourself. You'll need like a group of at least 5, if not like 10 people to do it.
Right.
And it's like, that's hard to do. That's hard to do when you're the only person you know who cares about it.
Right.
You know, or it's hard to justify like telling your wife like, hey, on this Saturday for 3 hours, do you want to go do this thing you don't care about with me?
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. Not that Beth played Pokemon Go for a while.
as well.
Yeah, no, I remember you guys doing this. This was like a thing you could do together. And I even remember like right when you had Luke, I feel like you would go out and it was like a great way to like put him in the stroller and do walks.
It was, yeah, yeah. It was a fun way to go. It was fun, like, well, we're in the stroller, me and you, bud, let's go. Let's just go on a little poke walk here. It'll be great. But there was one weekend in particular where like all the stars seemed to align. And like Beth, I think was up. She and Luke were on a trip for the weekend. And so it was just me at the house. And there was an Articuno event where Articuno was appearing at all of these different, you know, gyms. And I at this point had like discovered like a Discord server that was organizing like local Roanoke people. And so it was like, cool. I knew that according to this server, there will be people gathering at this starting location and then they're going to try and go do stuff. And I was like, well, it was very like a like put your money where your mouth is sort of thing. It's like, well, there's nothing stopping you now. Is this actually how you do want to spend your time?
Right.
Because like normally on that weekend, it's like, yeah, it's not like I don't want to do it. But if like Beth's there, I'd still just rather hang out with her. That's still,
of course,
more important. Yeah. Not that I don't care about the game because it still takes up a part of my day every day. But I remember going, I was like, okay, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to show up. And it was super fun. There was a pretty large group of people there. And I remember just sort of like walking from space to space. And like by the end of it, like groups had like, there was like a line of gyms that you could all pretty easily just walk to together in downtown Roanoke. But after like six in a row were done, then it was like, now people got to get in cars if you want to go to more.
Okay.
And it was like, and I'd arrived by myself, but it was like, I kind of want to keep going. And so there was like a group of like four or five people and someone had a minivan and it was like, y'all want to go hit this one over near the hospital? And it was like, I'm getting in.
I'm getting in the minivan.
I'm going. I just remember that day sometimes when I'm like, what a weird day that I woke up and eventually just got into a van with strangers to go catch Pokemon.
Right. Like did not know these people. Did not know I was going
to
do it.
Have not talked to them since.
Right.
Had fun hanging out that day.
Right.
That was pretty much it.
That's amazing.
I know. It's like, well, there you go. This is, I guess, what I would do by myself.
I wonder, is there any chance where I can't even remember where Super Carlin Brothers was at that point in time. Is there any chance that anybody like would have like known?
There was, yeah, like we were certainly doing it like full time by
okay,
then.
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was possible someone would have known, but no one in our group did know that I did YouTube, and it never came up either.
Okay. So. One of my all-time favorite anecdotes from doing the Super Carlin Brothers stuff, and we'll get right back to your conversation, was there was an instance where we were doing a like impromptu meet and greet with a bunch of pranksters, and I remember like we kind of got there, and like everybody else was there for the same reason and had a bunch of shared audience, and then we were like this like total black sheep of the group.
Yeah,
where it was sort of like, and we're here,
right?
And there were a bunch of people that came through and they were definitely like, we'll take a picture with you.
Yeah,
like, you know, like I think they could tell like we felt like a little bit awkward and stuff. And so anyway, it was like 2 years after that particular event, and somebody tagged us in a photo from that, and they were like, oh my gosh, I found the Super Carlin Brothers, I've been dying to go to one of their meetups, and I like wanted to meet them so badly, and then I was scrolling back through pictures on my phone and realized I already have,
right?
And it was like, I was like,
they're like, yeah, they took a picture with us before they knew who we were.
Yes. Yeah. It was so funny.
I was
like, that is the best thing ever. So anyway, I was like, it'd be really interesting if one of those people that you like got in the van with was like, is like listening right now, and they were almost like, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Wait, you were there?
You were there? Were you in the van?
You rode in my van?
Yeah. Well, it was fun. I caught like 15 Articuno that day and not a single shiny one, which was sort of a bummer.
Oh, that is kind of a bummer. What would typical odds be?
On a shiny on those days, I think it was like 1 in 10 or something. So it wasn't like bad odds.
So lousy odds.
Yeah. I mean
so lousy outcome is what
yeah,
I mean.
Lousy rather. Outcome, yeah. Because I think I caught more than were inside the bounds of the odds. So I should have, you'd have thought, at least rolled high rolled at once.
Man.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is making me really wish that they could do a grand Pokemon Go reset, because it does seem kind of fun now that you're talking about it.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, I mean, there's nothing stopping you from just starting.
Extremely huge walls stopping me.
Extremely huge walls, yeah.
Like Budapest-sized walls.
Budapest-sized walls. Can't do it. No. Right, not going to go walking around. Yeah. No. Yep. So it's still on my phone, and I really only ever open Pokemon Go if I'm like very like... isolated in a situation and I'm like really bored and really by myself.
Okay.
Then I'll be like, okay, well, let's see. I guess may as well catch some Pokemon.
Well, I remember in the early days of Super Carlin Brothers, we would go to lunch, and we would typically at that point in time, it's funny now because we almost always, we would, I feel like we never do this anymore, but we used to always drive to lunch somewhere.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be very common where it would be like, Would you mind turning right up here?
Yeah, because be you would drive and I'd be in the passenger seat with the game open, and it would be like, there's something I don't have like right over there, so let's take the long way.
Yeah, we'll take the long way.
Yeah, no, like, why not though?
Got to catch them all.
Got to catch them all.
Anyway, yep. Transition.
Popcorn culture is supported by Arena Club.
Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paperclip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
All right, Ben. So prior to starting this call, I was over in the Discord server.
Oh, where
in the Little Kernels channel.
Nice.
Yeah. And I remembered once upon a time you asked your wife for like a one word topic suggestion. And I was like, you know what? Let's do the same thing from the Discordians here.
Nice.
Yeah. So I went through and just had them submit completely random words. And so I'm going to look at them and I'm just going to say a word and we'll just see what happens.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. We'll ready. So our next conversation topic.
Here we go.
Let's see. This is from Mott's gave you up and let you down. Elephant.
I got something.
You got it?
Okay. So it actually...
Yeah, what's your experience with elephants, Ben?
My experience with elephants. Well, I don't really have an experience with elephants, but one of the examples I was going to give for something that I want to do in my life that I feel like there's also like just... massive, massive barrier against doing is actually traveling to Africa to hike Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so by elephants, I'm probably, I don't even know how accurate there is potentially elephants near Mount Kilimanjaro, but I think it's like one of the tallest mountains in the world, but is also like oddly very approachable. Like,
it's not like, you don't need like ice picks and snow boots and
like all the like crampons.
Yeah, crampons and stuff like that.
Right, like you know, it's sort of like Kilimanjaro, and it's like I think it's like it might take you like a week to 10 days or something like that to do it.
Okay,
you know, so it's like it's long, but it's like the primary tourist draw for this particular area, and I think the only way to do it is to like to have like a local companion who like then takes you up and you like hire
a Sherpa style person,
like a guide. I think it's like one of it was so fascinating to me. I was reading a book called What Doesn't Kill Us, and that is about the like Wim Hof method of like breathing, and he's like the guy who sort of like super popularized like taking like the ice baths.
Okay.
And like kind of almost like whilst in that harsh environment, being able to like basically like realize that like you are like okay and being able to like breathe through it and like then tolerate like this extreme condition. And so like the author of the book basically is trying to disprove the Wim Hof method. He's like an author who's like known for like disproving fad
diets. Hokum things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like essential oils and stuff.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
And so he goes out there and he starts training with him and he ends up being like his star pupil. And
turns out it's not a fad.
Turns out it's not a fad. It's a real thing. And so he goes and hikes, I think shirtless, he hikes Kilimanjaro. So he like literally is on top of like a frozen mountain peak with no shirt on.
No shirt on,
and
right.
That's which I have no interest in doing that whatsoever.
Right, yeah, like just because it could be done, I could do it, you know, I could do it easier.
I'm okay with doing it slowly.
Right. Having gotten to the top is all I need.
Right. So anyway, that's my response to elephants.
Is elephants, so I mean, not really about elephants.
Not really about elephants, but the first thing that came to mind when you said elephants was like I would put this on my bucket list.
Okay.
You know, for the Ben Carlin's Bucket Cast.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I talked about that last week, the idea of having a podcast that is specifically designed around like you following me on the journey of a bucket list item.
Yeah.
And the thing that I was talking about that I wasn't saying actually was the tattoo.
Oh,
because I feel like that would have, I haven't done this. I wish I had, because I feel like it would have been, even interesting just for me, even if it wasn't something I shared. It was just like video documenting or audio documenting, like the process, the days, the conversations, like all the various like little bits and bobs. And
yeah, you should like vlog it while you're up there.
Maybe I'll record some things. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, I feel like a good bucket cast item would be like literally like recording a piece of your podcast standing on top of like one of the world's tallest mountains.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, like, all right, guys, I made it. I'm here. I'm on top.
I'm here right now.
Here's what I'm seeing.
Right.
It's a barren wasteland.
Let me describe it to you. Yes.
There's a sign. Whenever there's a sign on top of peaks, it always occurs to me that like there was somebody who carried the sign all the way up.
Right.
You know, it's like you made it here. Someone else carried a sign up here.
Ben, I think about this sometimes of when we were like mountain biking and you'd be just out in the middle of the woods and suddenly there would be like a well-constructed set of stairs out of like nothing but like large heavy rocks.
Oh yeah.
And like at some point, like somebody came out here with a giant load of rocks. Don't know where they parked them. Don't know how they got them here. Did they carry them one by one? Was it in the back of a truck? Because I don't see how you get a truck out here.
Oh, no, definitely
not. You know, was it like in a four-wheeler ATV gator situation? I don't know how they're doing it. Whatever. But at some point, not only did they get them out here, they did enough work to successfully set up a long-standing set of stairs in the middle of the woods out of the rocks. And I'm like so impressed that anyone ever did it at all.
Right.
And it's like, but not only like, yeah, like the determination you'd have had to do it, knowing that there's no way you're getting any credit for this.
Oh, or anything.
Yeah. It's just going to be there. Like, you just have to be someone who like loves being outside so much and dislikes walking up this particular section of the trail as it stands so much, or maybe not even dislikes it, just realize that like, we were building the trail and we got to this part and there's just no way up. So what we had to do was like bring in some rocks. And it's like what? Like, but still, even then, it must be so hard to do.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you completely. I feel the same way about like rope swings.
Yeah.
Like very frequently, we're like in Roanoke. I feel like there's like a small handful of like known locations where there have been or currently are rope swings.
Yeah.
And they become like popular swimming holes. But typically it's just someone who was gutsy enough and realized the opportunity enough, because like usually the extremely hard part would be tying the rope up in the right place the first time.
Right.
Like someone had to get out on that branch.
Right.
To tie it.
Right.
You know, because otherwise it's just completely inaccessible. And then in addition to that, they needed to have found a spot on like the river or wherever where there is like enough depth to where you can swing successfully and get out there. You need to have it like be the exact length like long enough that like people can, you know, successfully like access it. It's like one of these things where I'm like, the guy, like whoever did this, did it so well that hundreds of other people have been able to come and enjoy this particular like piece of river.
Right.
You know, it's like remarkable. And nobody's given that person
credit. No one knows who it is.
But like one day that person did it.
Yeah.
And it was like
someone out there and they set it up. Yep.
What a gift.
What a gift. There it is. You're welcome. Thank you, rope swing people.
Yes.
Whoever you are.
We salute you.
We salute you.
What is that?
The real men of genius.
The real men of genius. Yeah. Man, if you want just like some of the best radio advertising of all time, was it Bud Light Presents? Bud Light Presents.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, see, this is the thing. It's like, was it great advertising? You don't even remember the product.
I don't even remember the product. I remember loving the real men of genius bits.
Oh, they're so funny.
Because it was just like there were so many of them, and they would always start, they would say like, we salute you, Mr.
Yeah, rope swing hanger dude.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. Yes, exactly. It's such a good example of something that a real man of genius would, you know.
You recognize the spot of river and hung a rope. Nobody else would have done that.
Yes. They had like the little backup singers.
Yes. Or the thing. Yeah.
Oh man, we should try to link this. Last week we had the Nike commercial with the chrome ball.
Oh man, I rewatched that whole thing this morning.
Was it amazing?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
I rewatched the whole thing, and the part that frustrated me the most is that you were completely right, and the grand finale was the shoe tie thing.
Yeah.
And I still argue that the scorpion toss is much cooler.
Well, I mean, it's not a matter of cooler.
It's a matter of cooler.
It bothered you that I remembered what the ending was?
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Okay.
It bothered you that I remembered what the ending was because scorpion throws are cooler.
Correct.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I think it tracks perfectly. Anybody could easily understand. It's one of these things where it's like throughout the course of this entire video, you're watching these soccer players do such remarkable things with a soccer ball.
Yeah.
And it like it all builds up to this like one trick play.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a trick play is ultimately what makes it the finale. It's sort of like, oh, he was tying his shoe, but then he did the thing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, the shot itself, kind of only okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, everyone's been doing soccer tricks, and now they're doing a trick play.
Yeah. And it even feels, like, edited in such a way that it was like, I bet they had to do this a bunch of times. Like, like the it's shot like otherwise you can like literally watch the guy do like the ankle flip where like the ball goes over the other guy's head, and it's like you watch the whole thing from start to finish. Nothing is like tricks of editing.
Yeah,
this one is sort of like you watch the guy kneel, and then there's like the run forward, and then it cuts to a clip of like the cleat jumping off the person's back, and then it like clips to a guy like soaring through the air, and then like the headbutt, and then it's like another shot where you can like see the guy like running backwards trying to like block the shot, and he kicks his foot backwards, and then the ball goes in. And it's like that was like 15 different shots,
right? Yeah, they had to do this a bunch of times.
They did this a bunch of times. It's like, but like, you know, none of those one shots are particularly difficult to get. Like,
I don't know. Even watching the Scorpion throw, like he does the throw, and then they cut to it going in the net.
That's a good point.
You know, like
that's a good point. Maybe he just missed.
Yeah, there's a lot of like they do a cool thing and then show a ball in the net, and you're like, oh man, he made the shot. And it's like, well, maybe, I don't know.
Right.
They made it look that way. But watching that commercial, or that series of commercials, like back through now as an adult, I was like, I don't even like how they shot it. Must have been like, did they just tell them like, go out there and we'll just shoot a ton of you guys just playing, but just freestyle it as much as you can, and whatever we get, we get. And then there are a few like set piece shots we want to get where you do like a cool, very specific catch the ball in this way. Like this whole segment's going to be about catching the ball on your neck, so we'll make sure we get that. But the rest of it, we're actually just going to play and let you guys go, or like, because a lot of it's just them like running around and playing,
right?
And
right,
it's like,
right.
How scripted could that be?
It seems like that's just like good quality B-roll. It's like, all right, we're just going to play a game, we're going to record all of it and see like what we can ultimately yield from it.
Yeah,
but it also brings up another interesting question, which is like in reality TV shows, I feel like there's this situation where it's like, for one, a lot of reality TV is not as reality as it sounds. Much of it is very much scripted. However, it does seem like on occasion it must be the case that they like caught the really cool thing on camera, which was like an actual real candid moment unfolding.
Yeah,
and on occasion I'm sort of like, man, like It feels like the tone of this conversation, the tone of this like overall message, is too serious for them to have like planned for the person on camera to have like received the phone call so that like the camera was pointed at them. They had it on speakerphone, heard like whatever bad news comes through the phone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like in like home improvement shows and stuff like that, where they're like flipping a house, almost always you'll see the host like get a phone call from the plumber and they'll be like, yeah, hey Bob. Well, it turns out, you know, that those were lead pipes, so we're going to have to replace all of them. It's going to be an extra 5 G's, you know, or something like that. And you're like, oh, I'm gonna have to call the client now and tell them like, oh, this is gonna
right.
be
right. And then they call the client and they're like, here's the deal, man. It's either get the kitchen or replace the plumbing. And really, you can't not replace the plumbing. So
there's that.
Unless
you
think you can find another 5 G's.
But not to worry, because remember that really cool tree that we found in the backyard? It turns out we got one guy on site who's able to turn it into your dining room table. So at the end of the day, I think we're actually gonna be fine. It's like, oh, I see what happened. You manufactured a problem so that problem could be solved.
Yeah.
You know, I see.
This is always what they're doing. Yeah, like, yeah. Home flip shows are so guilty of, like, they have the same tricks in every single episode.
I know. It's
there's always a problem that's going to add extra costs, and there's always a cost-cutting solution, both of which have been identified way in advance.
Oh, yeah. It's like everything is completely fine. But the thing is that it does feel like every once in a while, like, when I'm watching these shows, because I feel like I'm on the lookout for it. Like, for the most part, I feel like you can tell when it's like, no, this is not how this played out. Like, and I know that this is not how this played out. But sometimes, like, the people's reactions, it's like, this is not an actor, you know? Like,
yeah.
This person is not, like, you know, I think if I was on it and they're like, okay, we're going to call you, we're going to give you a piece of bad news, you need to, like, melt down.
Well, because, certainly, like, them getting the call and, like, having it on speakerphone, that's all scripted or whatever,
right,
for sure. But, like, I think the way they get, like, honest reactions out of people is by not letting the you know, the contestant or whoever it is have any clue what's going to come through on the phone call.
I guess that's
a fair
point.
A lot of times, like the producer, this is the greatest trick to when I don't really watch the Bachelor or Bachelorette anymore, but you know, used to watch it a lot, and then like Beth would listen to a bunch of like the offshoot podcasts, like reaction shows where they have the people on, and it's like the number one trick that's happening in The Bachelor and The Bachelorette is that whoever the handlers are, whoever the producers are who are like talking to each contestant and like telling them what they need to do or where they need to be. Like they are masters of being like your best friend or appearing to be your best friend.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like you always trust them to be like, okay, hey, and then so you're going to be in here and then just you're going to get a phone call from the main guy and he's going to and so just answer it and we'll, you know, roll. He's just going to invite you on the date or whatever. And then they answer it and it's like your mom died and you're like, what? You know, it's to them and now they're getting a genuine reaction because that's not at all what they were expecting.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. Okay. So maybe that's a good way to keep, although, I mean, that is like where it also, it's like, oh gosh, that's so cruel.
Right.
So
oh cruel. Yeah. I mean, they're manufacturing drama. They're getting real reactions because they manufactured a situation that would yield drama.
Right. But the thing I can never understand is how the people on the show then don't just get so mad at the person who walked them into that room. Like it's like they're still willing to like abide by the rules and the laws of like, well, you're still on a TV show. You can't acknowledge all the camera people in the room and the producers. But like occasionally it must be the case that somebody wants to look up at, you know, like Jill who just walked him in the room and told him that they're about to get this phone call about this one thing and it's about something else entirely and be like, Jill,
come on now.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I thought we were friends.
We were friends, yo.
I thought we were friends.
You had my back. And they're like, no, because then they'd be like, I had no idea that was going to happen. I had no idea. I'm so sorry about that.
Right. They're like, this is over my head. This is top brass.
This is top brass. Top brass came raining down on it. So super sorry about that. I got your back all day. Guess what I told them?
Right. Yeah. I know. But so the other thing, so if you want to take it and flip it on its head a little bit, the other thing too is like, if you watch something like Planet Earth, you know, like animal documentaries, it's like those people, and part of what you don't see is, unless you've like watched any of the backstory stuff, is like a lot of them go out and in order to get the shot of like the rare mockingbird doing its mating dance or something like that is like they have been sitting in the rough for 21 days.
Right.
You know, and like, you know, they have literally been out there surviving on like pure nothingness and just like waiting and hoping that this like moment of magic is able to be captured and then delivered to the world, like, you know, in the name of communicating about like
animals.
Yeah. Exactly. And I have to imagine, because it's like, this is like when you go to the zoo, it's always interesting like to actually see the animal do something.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, it's one thing to like go and see the tiger sitting on the rock, but like, you know, for example, I think at like the Disney Safari one day I was rolling through and there was a lion up on top of like, you know, the cool,
yeah, like the Pride Rock,
thing. Yeah. And it actually like stood up and roared.
Right.
And I was like,
no.
I was like, that's pretty cool.
That was cool.
It's like, you know, it's not like this lion like sits back down and then like, oh, new truck.
Prepare myself. Yeah. Lion, you've got another truck coming.
Right, yeah.
Prepare on stage.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then signal and roar.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Reset fantastic. The scene, people. We got another one coming in 10.
Yep, let's do it again.
Yeah, so it's not like that, obviously. But I have to imagine that if you take, like, so that's like what they're doing. That is the real magic of like when you're watching Planet Earth. Is like what they have done is a lot of people's determination and patience and willpower brings you the entire saga that you see unfold, like the migration of the wildebeest or whatever. It's like it only happens once a year and you had to be in the right spot with the drone in the air at the right time and, you know, like all of the rest. Like, so you capture these moments of just pure magic. But I have got to imagine that on reality shows there must be circumstances where the same type of magic is caught, because there are so many reality shows that occasionally it's like, oh wow, something interesting is happening completely organically.
Oh, that's got to be the best. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like we didn't plan this.
Right.
This happened.
Let's go.
Like, yeah.
Point it over there.
Right. It's like, I cannot believe it happened to be the case honestly, I even felt the same way about America's Funniest Home Videos growing up. Is like, you know, you would sit and you would like watch these things and like, you know, it might be the case that like somebody is standing on a toilet to try to change the light bulb in the bathroom and then like the toilet tips forward and then the tank bursts and water blasts off over everybody.
Right.
And, you know, the person falls on their butt and you're like, whatever.
Right.
And you're like, what a hilarious video. Why was someone filming it?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's like if you think about it for too long, you're like, why was someone filming it?
Right.
You know, it's like,
there wasn't YouTube. They weren't going to put this on the internet to be like, this is how you change a light bulb in your bathroom.
Exactly. And it's like the other thing too, is that like, if you're filming home videos, it's like, this is not film worthy.
Right.
You know, it's like that changing a light bulb isn't interesting.
I think people's filter for what is film worthy.
Well, that's fair. But very, I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Like on some level though, the scarcity of the videotape itself has got to be a factor in terms of how often you turn this camera on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's simply not that often.
Right.
And yeah, so I think that like, I remember always thinking that about America's Funniest Home Videos, because we always had one of our younger brother, Tyler, who I don't think would mind this story being shared. Cause honestly, it's a pretty cool video, even if like not, it's scary, but then funny because you know, he's completely fine.
Yeah.
But when we were growing up, we lived on this street, and it was kind of like a big sloping hill. Our house sort of like was like right in the middle of it, where it was like flat for like, I don't know, 100 yards or something. And then it sort of like tapered back down and was long again. But, due to like the unusual like shape of the road, our next door neighbors, basically like their curb to the street was, it was like curb, like you would imagine that would normally like lead into any sidewalk, except there was no sidewalk. It was just a 3-foot fall.
Just a wall.
Just a wall. Yeah. So like, you know, if you happen to like, you know, run off the curb in front of these people's house, you would go, if you went over the curb, you would fall 3 feet, you know, into their yard. And while Tyler was learning to ride a bike as like a, you know, 5-year-old or something, dad was filming and, or mom was filming or someone. And, you know, he's just like out there and he's sort of like, rolling in circles, doing like some figure eights and stuff. He runs in his front tire to the curb and literally just flips over the wall.
Yeah.
And then obviously mom or dad, whoever was holding the video camera, like doesn't even turn it off. They just like race over and like you like go from like, oh, look, Tyler's filming, or like riding his bike, to like, oh my gosh, he's over the wall, to like, you know, you're staring at the ground moving rapidly by as mom or dad runs over to check on Tyler, who was of course okay. But like that was always one of those moments where I was like, wow, I can't believe we caught that on camera. Like, you know, that's unbelievable that you there can like go back and see it. But then it also makes me wonder, and this is my whole big thing, what I'm leaning towards is like, how many hilarious things are happening in the world that nobody ever catches on tape?
Oh, gotta be all the time.
It gotta be all the time. Like, all the time.
Yeah.
Like the best, funniest home videos that you've ever seen in your entire life shouldn't hold a candle to all the things that have never been caught.
Oh yeah, that for sure. For sure. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think maybe like the bread and butter of America's Funniest Home Videos is just that, like, there's like, when you're doing something with like a, like that's a, even the tiniest bit riskier or like more accident prone, that is often what would prompt people to like get the camera out. Like, I mean, and especially there was no internet back then. So like, whatever, you're filming a home video, it's got to be doing something exciting, you know, which could be, you know, which is probably something like, we're all going skiing, so let's get video of the kids skiing, or we got a trampoline, so everyone's jumping, or we're jumping in the pool, you know, whatever it is. It's not like high risk activity, but there's more risk. And so like, those are the things that are also, and like, because people are rolling, it's not high risk, but it's enough more risk that a percentage of people are making whiffs.
Right.
And those are the ones that are getting sent in, you know, but I think that's the bread and butter of any like fail thing. You know, you want people on bikes, you want people on diving boards, you want people getting, you know, hit down low and
No, I know, it's so true. I mean, and that's the thing too, like, I mean, if you're teeing up to ride off your mountain bike off the roof of your house and try to land in the swimming pool and your bike has been wrapped in pool noodles, it's like, of course someone's filming that, because you're basically filming the inevitable at that point in time. Right. Like, it's like, there's not even a chance that this works. What we're filming is the failure.
Exactly.
So that certainly makes sense. But so, I mean, that's the thing though, is that there are the occasions where I do think it is just so comical or so remarkable that somebody happened to have the camera on hand and they got it on video and then they submitted it. Like, it's so many things that need to happen for you to be watching it on national television.
I know. Yep. It's fantastic. Yeah, America's Funniest Home Videos. Basically just viral videos before YouTube existed.
So yeah, here's the question. Yeah, because there's point of people, what is America's Funniest Home Videos? I can't imagine, because could that question even be asked?
I think they still make the show.
Alice's cousin was on the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he got I think, trapped in a toilet.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they sent him like $250 for the usage rights to his being trapped in a toilet.
Great.
I know. I'll have to see if she knows if there's a link to that particular episode somewhere, because that would be Soup's funny.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, America's Funniest Home Videos is just the same as Tosh.0, is just the same as Ridiculousness.
It's true.
You know, except that they just mined the internet rather than having people physically mail them videotapes.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. And it is always very curious to know as well. Like, this is, like, yeah, is anybody in the listening audience, have they ever been featured on one of these particular shows? Because that would be, I mean, that's the other thing too, is that's like, you should, and I guess to be fair, I literally just gave my example. I know at least one person who was on America's Funniest Home Videos.
There you go.
It feels like there are enough of these shows and enough clips used in each episode that it's like that 6 degrees Kevin Bacon rule. Like, it's like, you should know someone who is on it.
Right.
Like,
who's had a big fail video.
Who's had a big fail video.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, you have one of our good buddy, Michael Austin, just going full face plant off of a bike ramp.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Which, yeah, that's a very good point.
Right?
That's a video that, like, it took me a long time to be able to watch again because that was one of those where it was like, he landed on his face and it was like, it was less okay.
Yeah.
We went to the hospital.
Oh my gosh. There is, I don't know if it was Ridiculousness or Tosh.0, but we were watching, and there's always a section of these shows that are like, these are people failing. And there was this one where this kid just jumps off a dock into water, and the water is brown, so he can't see like what the bottom looks like, and he just breaks his ankle.
That one
clip has stopped me from ever watching these shows again.
Yep.
I'm like, nope. Nope.
Yeah.
Because I might see something like that if I watch these shows, and I cannot because it has been a decade since I saw that one clip, and I'm like, I think about it anytime I'm like, oh, Ridiculousness. I'm like, nope, never mind. Can't.
I know.
Not here for it. I don't want to see the fail. No fail videos, man. I don't need to see people getting injured.
Yep. No. I can't handle injuries at all. And that's the other thing too, is like at the end of these episodes, it's like, you know, it's like you see these things happen. Can there be a disclaimer? Can we follow up with each of the respective individuals and make sure that they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like, it's like I said, with the Tyler video, it's like, I feel like, in hindsight, it was after the fact, like even in the moment, obviously mom and dad, again, whoever's holding the camera, it's like, it wasn't funny to them. They were freaking out. And it's like, it's funny because you know he's all right.
Yeah.
It's like, but I feel like I watch a lot of these and I'm like, I don't see any way in the world in which they're all right.
Oh,
like,
I know, right?
You know, it's like, and if they're not all right, then it's not funny.
Yeah. We're just laughing at them getting horribly hurt.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's at least that's how I feel about it.
Oh, like, I don't know if you remember this one too. I'm sure you do. This is the one that I always think about. It is a snow day outside, and someone clearly thinks they're about to do a cannonball into a swimming pool, and that just the top inch of the pool is frozen.
Exactly.
But in fact, it is way, way deeper. And so they go full cannonball, and they do not break the surface of the ice at all.
I want to say they're like in like a Speedo or something.
It's like
super minimal.
It is super minimal.
But every single time I've seen that one, yeah, because they like run, jump, and like cannonball, and then like the ice doesn't break. It would be like if you ran and jumped and cannonballed onto
cement.
It's just like the ground.
It just looks so bad.
I know.
It's like what's not funny is that they're hurt. What's funny is the confidence they had versus the results.
I know. Yeah. I feel like in past episodes I've talked about like catastrophizing. It's sort of like, sometimes I feel like this is part of the problem too, is that it's like, if I was never exposed to all of these various videos, then the worst case scenario in my mind would probably not be as like vivid,
right?
as the world has shown me otherwise.
Yeah.
Like what you've seen in like in every single instance, like what made that video so remarkable is like there must be hundreds of other instances where people had backyard pools where the surface was frozen, it was a snow day, they thought it would be hilarious to go and jump into the frozen pool and then like promptly get out and go inside and towel off. And it was
right.
Like, look,
it's
I just
a cool video. I broke through the ice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like the thing is that when all you've ever been presented, because those videos ultimately end up being maybe less interesting. Maybe if you know the person, like, you know, you're across the street neighbor or something like that, and they posted to Facebook, you're like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. Like,
yeah.
Can't believe you did that. Way to spend your snow day. It's funny if you know the person. Otherwise, it doesn't have like quite the mass appeal. So then the problem is that the world has very frequently delivered you all of the exceptions. They have shown you all of the moments where the ice didn't break.
Right.
And now my brain has been just fueled with way too many worst case scenarios, and I'm able to imagine them in very vividly.
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know if you were there. I'm remembering now a snow day personally that we had. This was back on the Jonkerlin channel. There was this video. We had, it was a snow day, and it was, we had a snow tube.
Oh, I do remember this.
The snow tube. And the snow tube was fantastic. It could, I mean, it could go down a hill in a way that sleds just can't. I mean, you could get some serious speed on these things. Yes. They were designed to go on snow. It wasn't like an inner tube from the pool. This was like snow tube first.
Right.
And like you always think as a kid, like, oh, we're going to go build a ramp and we're going to hit the ramp and it's going to be so fun. But it never works. It's like the hill is either too steep or you can't get going fast enough, or the sled is like too streamlined and it breaks through the ramp because you can't pack it hard enough. This was not that day.
Yeah.
This was a day of glory. This was the day where we had a big hill. We had hard, packable snow. We had a nice big ramp at the bottom. We had the snow tube, and you could hit the ramp basically every time.
Yep.
And oh man, did we do it all day, to the point where I was like, well, I'm getting the camera out, because I was like, this is basically my big break. I'm going to get people going off this ramp. It's going to be the coolest thing anyone's ever seen. That's the mentality you have. It's like, boy, Ben's at the diving board. Let's go. All right. This is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
The street, your imagined street cred as you're launching off the snow tube ramp.
Right. Why weren't there a bunch of like hoods popped and like loud music
exactly.
playing?
Exactly. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't a crowd. I'm surprised we weren't on national news for making this thing. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I remember going down and I was like, there was a whole group of kids from the neighborhood, and I was just like getting every single person going off the ramp. And there was, you know, a variety of different landings you might encounter where you might go off and you might just land it great. And that was like the hero landing. But then I do remember, when Tyler went down, and it's in the video, but he goes completely upside down and lands completely upside down on the, like, on his back in the tube in the snow, got some serious air and everything. Man, sorry, Ty. it was so funny.
The many highlights of Tyler's amazing. Once again,
he was completely fine.
Yes. But it is, I mean, that video must still be on the John Carlin channel.
Oh, it's out there. Yeah. And it's like, it's got such bad, like, Apple iTunes, iMusic, like, built in, you know, default music behind it, and it's not super well edited or anything, but, you know, certainly at the time I was like, this is fantastic, this is the coolest thing. So I've got all this amazing footage. It's definitely going viral.
Maybe now that we've talked about it,
yeah,
it's gonna
people
give
are
it
gonna
that,
go back and look. I need to have just the clip of just Tyler. I just put that on TikTok. It used to be like, here you go.
This is Tyler crashing. Right. This is the whole thing. Done. Oh man. Yeah. Good times. I do remember that day fondly, though. I'll tell you what. There is nothing. There's probably no better sleep than that which follows a day of just hardcore, like, playing in the snow.
Oh yeah.
Because you're wearing all this clothes, you're simultaneously freezing and sweating.
Yeah.
You're running up and down a hill.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Like, sledding is an arduous task for many reasons.
Oh, it absolutely is. The number one thing that I always thought as a kid, this probably, like, if you wanted to, like, know the scale at which I wanted to do things as, like, a 12-year-old, was we had like a communal hill that we would sled at in our neighborhood growing up. And, like, in my mind, I just thought it was legitimately possible that we could pool our funds and build a ski lift.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that it was like, it's like, you know, I don't only get snow like 3 days a year, but guys,
on those days,
guys, can you imagine if we had the ability to just, like, hop on at the bottom, we could sled all day. We would never get tired.
Right. Well, the thing is, what always baffled me about days like that is that I know the hill you're talking about, and it's massive, and yet we would have gone down it like 30 times.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and at no point, you'd get to the bottom, and it was never like, oh my gosh, I gotta, that was fun, but now I got to walk up the hill. It was like you'd get to the bottom, turn around, grab your sled, and full sprint up the hill,
back up the hill
in the snow, in your gear, and be like at the top again, like, no problem. I'm not tired at all. I'm not even out of breath. Let's go again.
What happened?
Why? Like, why? What is the magic of snow that allows you to be able to do this? Whereas, like, if you went on any other day of the year, the same age, if you were just like, yeah, so what's going to happen is we're just going to coast down this hill and then we're going to do a sprint up it. Fun?
Okay. Here's
You'll
my.
You'll be tired immediately.
Here's my proposition. Okay. Someone. This is like. So the thing about the great thing about snow days is that it is the unexpected nature of time away from, like, school.
Yeah.
And
it's bonus day.
You can pretty much only ever experience this because it's like, as a kid, it's like number one best case scenario when you wake up every single morning is that for some reason school has been canceled.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, I mean, at least for me, that was always just sort of like, there was nothing that I would want more. And, like, those rare moments when it happened and you were like, I can sleep in. I can play video games. I can go play in the snow. I'm going to call everybody I know. We're going to have so much fun. There's going to be hot chocolate. It's like everything about a snow day is the best day ever. So here's my suggestion is that on like every single year, we almost need to have like a national holiday that is universally recognized, that is a random date of the year. Every year where nobody knows that's going to happen until the moment.
Just bonus day.
It's just called bonus day.
It's just bonus day and no one knows when it's going to be. It's just like any day might be bonus day.
It's like boom, it's bonus day.
You literally woke up thinking you were going to work, but you're not.
The full intention of it is just literally, and this is the thing, you can't plan around it. It can't become a commercialized holiday. There can't be sales all the other stuff.
It has to be complete surprise.
It's just sort of like, boom, August 12th, why not?
Boom. There it is. Guess what? Today is bonus day. Man, I love the sound of this already.
Yeah.
This should absolutely be a thing. Bonus day. I'm totally in. Okay, this is actually, I was thinking about snow days here. There was always the sledding aspect of the snow day, but then there was another sometimes this also meant that we had just like unlimited access to play like Diablo 2 for like an entire day.
Yeah.
On a snow day. I
was talking about all the other glory and I was trying to make it as relatable as humanly possible.
Yeah.
What really mattered was that we could play as much Diablo 2 as we wanted.
Yeah. There was a lot of Diablo 2 and especially in high school. So that was, there was that. And then, otherwise me and Tyler played a lot of like Yu-Gi-Oh and it was like, guess what? All day. Let's go. Let's just have duels.
Yeah.
You know,
it's time to duel.
Exactly. So anyway, I only bring those two things up because, a lot of times we'd have like neighbors who would come over to the door and it'd be like, hey, you guys come out, we're going sledding. Let's go right now. No time to wait. And it'd be like, I actually really want to play Diablo right now and I don't want to go out in the cold and you're already like excited about it and I don't like you trying to force me out of the house I actually want to do these indoor things on this snow day,
right?
Or whatever. And, I recently, one of our old neighbors was in town recently and we went to go meet them because they have kids now and all the kids are just going to play at the playground. And it occurred to me like the day before that like I had been playing like Diablo 4 that night and that later that day I was going to play like Pokemon cards in a tournament. And I was like, if this person asks me about what I'm up to right now, it's going to be the exact same things.
That is amazing.
That were like more or less the same things, updated a little, but more or less the same things I was doing.
Better graphics. The same thing with better graphics.
Same thing with better graphics. I was like, that's really funny. It's like, have I not changed that much? Is this just who I am? This is me.
That's amazing. I think you should embrace it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Embrace your spikes.
Yeah, right. Embrace your spikes. Let's go.
Let's go. Oh my gosh. Honestly, I find that to be hilarious and amazing and incredible. And I think you should stick to it.
That
means 30 years from now when we're like entering like retirement age, yeah. It'll sort of be like, hey, what have you been up to? It's like, well, I'm playing Diablo 10
and been to this new card game, so.
Yeah, exactly. same old
man, whatever.
12 35 65
like I'm not gonna apologize for am I right? This has always been me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, guys, as ever, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I am very excited to show you what the end result of last weekend ultimately has been, already is, based on the time that you're hearing this.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I don't even know. I know,
right? You're going to be a whole different person by the time. This is the last time you got to hear this Ben.
I'll be changed Ben.
Next week, it'll be new Ben. By the time you're listening to this, new Ben will exist, but you won't have heard from him yet.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. What if it changes everything about me?
I mean, I guess it's been nice knowing you.
I know. Yeah. So it's like, I'm the opposite of you. It's like, what are you up to? Same things as always. It's like, what are you up to? Every single thing about me is different.
Everything about me is different now. I've got a mullet, you know?
We basically don't and didn't know each other at any point in time.
I don't own a single brown shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Literally, I wrote, I don't own a single brown shirt. I love it. And people need to let us know if they're in for our brown shirt. But also, literally, I wrote this as my the title of my memoir would be Subject to Change. It's like, I literally had that thought and I was like, That's actually probably pretty good. It's title. Pretty spot on. Yeah.
Ben Carlin. American success story. Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, as ever, guys, if you have any feedback about the show, if you've been featured on America's Funniest Home Videos or Ridiculousness or Tosh.0 or any of those things, be sure to let us know. Or if you have any other feedback on the show, you can send it to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Otherwise, if you want to scope us, or if you would like to support us over on Patreon.
Yeah, don't scope us. Sounds like getting no-scoped or something.
I know. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it seems bad.
Bad.
If you'd like to check us out on Patreon or support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We have a variety of different tiers, all of which help you cast votes towards who is the ultimate one true host here at Popcorn Culture. So again, patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.